Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. Mark 5, 25. And I'm going to preach this morning if you guys are okay with that. Are you guys in a mood to hear some preaching? You ready, Brother Damone? If you have the strength, stand on your feet to Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I appreciate all you here. I appreciate those that are watching online. We know that we're in the middle of an epidemic. We got it. We get it. And we're going to be as flexible as possible. But whether you are here present or you're in the online audience, you're going to hear a word today. So I pray that you would allow your attention to be focused on what the Lord wants to speak to us today. Mark chapter 5, we're going to read verse 25 through 34. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." I want you to notice that she said within herself, and when you say something within yourself, it's a thought that you have. It's a thought that you have. Verse 29, and straightway from the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, in the press, pressing and touching him, he says, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, don't you see all these people pulling and tugging at you? What you talking about? And you say, "Who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth, all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." As we pray here in a moment, I don't want us to pray just the usual prayer that we give before I preach the word or before anybody delivers the word of God. I want to pray for one thing first of all as well before I forget. Sheila Vaughn, she was baptized here and healed here. Her son Dalton is in serious need of prayer. Of course, we have people that are also sick here today who cannot be here. And then on top of that, I want us to pray that this word would just open everyone's eyes to what they need to do and what they can do to see their lives delivered and changed. We believe here in this church that we are people that are not helpless. Somebody hear me this morning. We're not a helpless group of people here that have no opportunity to see God move. Even in possible situations, God can do it. How many believe that God can do it? How many believe that God can change it? And how many know that you can be that vessel that God can change through, that you have the power, you have what it takes. It's in you, 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 it's in you. And I want to preach to you this morning, I need a will. I need a will. Let's pray for these needs right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're so thankful, God, for all that you are doing in our lives. We're not here this morning without you already orchestrating something so great and so mighty in our lives. And Lord Jesus, there is a pull of the world against so many. There is an attack of the enemy to draw us away from what you desire to fulfill and unfold in our lives. I'm praying that you would release, hallelujah, an anointed word, Lord Jesus, that your word would pierce hearts and minds. I pray, oh God, and empower everyone watching, everyone present, God, would not be the same. And we pray, oh God, for Dalton, Sheila's son, and we ask you, oh God, to work a miracle. We ask you, oh God, to touch those, oh God, that are sick in their body. But we believe that through through this word, oh God, you will manifest, oh God, yourself, and there will be signs following the word of God. There will be empowerment in this house. There will be healings in this place. There will be deliverance in this place, oh God. Someone is going to repent. Someone's going to receive the Holy Ghost. Someone's going to be changed. Someone's going to be encouraged. I wish I had some believers right now that would agree that God is going to allow His word to pierce our hearts, our minds, in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, clap your hands in the house of the Lord this morning. Clap your hands and shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Just turn my monitors up a little bit, just a tad. You may be seated here in the house of God. Where did I put my towel in? I'm going to eat that later. I think it's fair to say that we know what is trying to kill us. We know what is trying to destroy us. We know what is trying to pull us down and put us out of place. We know our weaknesses as well as we know our trials and our tribulations. We know our battles. We know the enemy of our soul that we have and what are temptations that we battle and what we deal with. We know what tries to steal, kill, and rob us of our joy. And we know what is trying to kill our contentment. We know what is trying to kill our hunger within the kingdom of God. Because there are many people in this hour that are no longer hungering for the kingdom of God to unfold in their life. They're no longer thirsty for a manifestation of the glory of God. Many people are just having business as usual, and we also know what weighs heavily on our hearts, the things that bring us sadness and wants to put dark clouds over our days. We know that it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. We know that most areas we find ourselves struggling in, it did not happen in one moment. It did not happen overnight. But there were little things here and there that we truly did not take head on. We just kind of let them hang around a bit. Praise God, we just didn't tackle it because we just thought, well, it's not that big of a deal. And we knew that if it had grown as strong as it had grown, then maybe we would have tackled it at first glance. But we say, it's not that big of an issue right now. It's not that big of a deal. And we felt that at that time, we did not have to take it seriously. We felt we could overcome it when it really came down to it. So letting it hang around was okay. But what realistically happened, praise God, is that we reached a point where we saw it actually began to affect us in a negative way. And then we felt at that point, and at that timing, well, we better do something about it. But by then, it seemed it attached itself like a barnacle to a humpback whale. We feel like it has attached itself like a tumorous cancer upon us that we cannot shake. Think about it real quick about the story of Samson. We see Samson thought that I can do whatever I want to do, and I can do however I choose to live, and my strength will still be upon me, to the point he laid on Delilah's lap and told him lie after lie. But the thing about it is, she didn't know there were lies, and she tried, praise God, to take and remove his strength. But what was Samson's attitude? It's no big deal. It does not matter. And as a result, he finally gave in and he shared the secret to his strength. And what happened? His strength was removed from him. And now as we look at our setting of scripture, looking at this woman with no name that was given, and I believe the reason why she had no name given, because we did not want to isolate her as the only person that faced what she had to face. And if you would hear me this morning, you should see yourself in this text. You should see yourself in this scripture, and you will see in the setting. The Bible tells us she had been sick for 12 years. But when looking at scripture closely, it did not say that she went to the physicians the whole entire time.
She may have, but she also may not have. It is possible that she began to notice the problem in those first of those 12 years, but didn't think much about it. I don't feel very well, but it maybe it's not that big of a deal. Is it possible that she did not go to the doctors immediately when the problem began? That's not a knock against her. That is a picture of what I'm wanting to paint of humanity. We know there are signs of things not being all right. Things that start very subtly and they change just minutely. And we know there are signs of maybe more rebellion in our children when they have more attitude or when they become more distant towards us. There's more arguing in our home or in our marriages. We're more focusing on the negative things rather than the things that God is trying to repair within the people of God, and more missing of the things that we once were committed to. There are more justifying of mistakes along the way rather than having a heart of true repentance, where we beat our chest and we humble ourselves and we say, God, I'm going the wrong direction, and I repent and I'm sorry for the direction that I am heading towards. Now hear me this morning. I speak to you from the perspective of someone who has been in ministry for many years and having the privilege to be welcomed into the lives of men and women who want their lives to be better. And I speak from the perspective of an individual who is no different from those that allow me to serve them. A conclusion I can make in this context is that we don't feel that we need to deal with things fully or directly quite just yet. I don't have to tackle that thing just quite fully yet. We believe we can handle it. We believe we can sweep things under a rug. We let things build up and letting things slide. We don't need to make a big issue out of that because it's just the beginning stage. I'm not dealing with all the consequences just yet. And so why make it an issue at all? And we'll just wait and see what will happen. We have waited to keep our kids in church, hoping one day they will make a choice to come on their own. I hear so many people tell me, I'll give my kids a choice whether or not they should come to church. And my question is, have they ever shown up? Did you ever create a desire in them that the kingdom of God must be sought after first? But again, is it a big deal? It's a free country. They can make their own decision. But I see the other side of it. When they don't come back, when they don't know how to repent, when they don't know how to say, I'm sorry, because they weren't empowered by the word to tell them, you can come back to God. They feel so isolated, and no one told them how to get right with God. We have waited to build a personal relationship with God on their own, but I'll do it later. I'll just depend on Sunday service to get in God's presence rather than taking what I get from Sunday and learn how to apply it on Monday. Just say, God, here I am Monday morning. Pastor's ball over the haddock or Brother Wilson not preaching to me, but I'm still going to learn how to be in your presence. It's not Wednesday night. It's Sunday. Praise God, no. It's Tuesday afternoon. And I'm going through a struggle. But I heard the word of God. And I can go on my knees. I can go on my face. And I can call on Him. But again, there are people, you don't know how to do that. Because you're only waiting on Sunday for the presence of God. We have waited to build and structure and systems and tools to enhance our marriage from day one. Brother Josh, you are newly married. I don't know most people in this room, and some of you are working towards engagement. Can I please plead with you? Don't wait till year 7 to try to put your marriage back in order. Don't wait when everything's all messed up and then you want in counsel. Right now, put in strategies. Right now, put in tools. Right now, read. right now, study and say, I'm going to make my marriage work right now before it ever goes bad. Why do we wait till after the fact to get things right? Understand, there's a strategy right now that you can employ. Turn my monitors up, please. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. For the Holy Ghost. We have waited on getting rid of things that feed our flesh and natural cravings. You hear what I said? I said feeding our flesh and natural cravings. As a man, you have natural cravings. As a woman, you have natural, praise God, cravings. But what we must understand, that every day I have to put my body in subjection. And I can't wait till after I've gone too far to try to call on God for help. When he's trying to give you a lifeline right now. He's trying to extend wisdom right now. He's trying to cover you right now. He's trying to give you anointing right now. But so many people, from my perspective, say it ain't that bad yet. We have found ourselves like Abraham's nephew Lot, in which we have only started to pitch our tent towards the world's ways, and then in time we find we are actually living where they are. Lot did not start off in Sodom and Gomorrah. He just simply pitched his tent in that direction. And time went by, and he found himself almost destroyed by the wrath of God, simply because he didn't make up in his mind to stay far away from sin as possible. And too many people are trying to have one foot in and one foot out. Let me tell you, God will spew you out of his mouth. Now I am saying that God wants to welcome us all in, but don't come in here with a prideful heart, thinking you're so strong, you're so big, you're so mighty, and you're so lacking and able to fail. Anybody can fail. Anybody can fall out. Anybody can backslide. And I've seen it from my perspective. I've seen people with this microphone in their hand not living for God. I go through my pictures in this church and other churches we ministered and pastored at, and I see where they're still hurting, and some of them are fighting for their mental state. Now, am I saying this to everybody all the time? I tell you, it's only one road that you can face. Either you're moving forward or you're going backwards. But people think the preacher, he's just too crazy, he's too dynamic. But I'm talking to you from experience this morning. Speak to you from the perspective of hearing the calls that I get, that my wife gets, that the ministry team gets, of pain and crying and weeping of the backslider that never thought they would get as far as they did. They never thought they would go that far away. They never thought they would be indulging in that thing. They just thought, well, a couple of missed services here, that won't be a big deal. But now they don't know how to come back. Not that they would not be welcome, but because of the guilt and the shame that they feel. Not that the church puts on them, but because they feel within themselves, I've gone too far away. And the devil whispers in their ear, and they're finding so many things. And we waited, we waited, we waited. Speak to you from the perspective of hearing the precious saints of God, past and present, that feel they could go back in time. They would do things differently. They would make different choices. They would go down different roads if they could, but they can't. They would get serious. They tell me about dealing with the reality of the problems they have, the sin they dealt with, and the temptation. And listen to me, it arises in every single one of us. Not one person is exempt from temptation and trials and mistakes. We're not talking about trying to be perfect people that have no temptation in your life. What I'm trying to put inside of your spirit is what they say is, I wish I had a will that when the temptation came and when the battle came, I would stand up and I would fight like I never fought before. They said I was so sick and tired in that moment, and I became so passive. I was so lax danger going. I didn't think it was a big deal. But all I wish now, I would go back with boldness and spiritual authority that I had and fight against every temptation that's trying to pull me down. I need a will. Speak to you from the perspective of King Saul. One that we can look at and say, you know, a lot of ways he is like us. God was clear about certain things, and we change it ever so slightly and think it's not a big deal. God wants it this way, and we say, God, why you gotta ask so much? And we look at God like God is the problem. We look at God like it's his fault we're defeated. But on the contrary, God was trying to deliver Saul from his enemy. God was trying to give him full and ultimate victory. And how many of us are resisting the will and the plan of God? While God is all saying, I'm trying to keep you from death. I'm going to keep you from pain. I'm going to keep you from sorrow. And all the time Saul just says, no, I'll ignore that. I don't have to kill everything. I'll do it my way. It makes sense not to kill the king. Have you ever played chess before, God? It makes sense to keep what's wrong with keeping the best sheep. What's wrong with doing it this way? I mean, the best sheep can be done in honor unto you and respect unto you. God, I have my own way to honor and bless you. And God is saying, you're wrong. Even though it seems right. What's the problem with not dedicating and consecrating fully? I mean, we won the battle easily. They were mostly devastated. Why are they extra, God? Because I saw Amalekite go before David that says he's the one that killed you. The enemy is not going to stop killing or pursuing you until you completely cut his head off. And too many of us letting him hang around. Let him hang around. Because we don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. God is asking too much. But when you don't obey God, it costs you everything. Saul said, God, you're asking too much. But Saul, you lost every single one of your boys eventually. You need to go back and listen to the message I preached on the cost of disobedience is greater than the cost of sacrifice. Both part one and part two. Go to lhupc.org, Sermon Audio, you will find it. But he faced a problem that God had a solution for. There's not one problem you're facing that God does not have a solution for. Come on, somebody, amen. There's not one problem, one issue that you're dealing with that God has found himself stumped in. No, your God has provided a solution, but we need a will to activate that solution for our life. We need our own personal desire to see God and his virtue enter into our lives. Please hear me. I'm not saying it's a problem that you face problems, temptations, and trials. I'm saying it's a problem when you don't deal with them according to the word of God. That empowers you to defeat them. In this woman's case, because what I'm trying to convey is that within all of us is a real place we have to fight and deal with within ourselves. Every one of us has an internal struggle that we're battling. We all have some Clark Kents that we got to deal with. Amen. That we're trying to shield with our Superman facade. Amen. The struggle of our own will that we all have said, I can handle it. What's he screaming and fighting and yelling for? I got it. I got all this under control. For this woman, things got out of hand.
And then what do we do? You try to make the situation better, but many times you find you make it worse. Verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all she had, and was nothing better, but grew worse. Are you better now through your disobedience? Am I better now through my disobedience? Trying to fix it the way the world says to fix it. Try to drown it in alcohol. Isn't that what they do? Drown it in alcohol. Try to hide it in hypocrisy. Try to cover it with condemning others so that they can keep the eyes off of you. Don't you have the people that are so judgmental? And you look at them and go, man, I understand what Jesus was talking about. You got this big old thing coming out of your head. And you're talking to me about some little freckle I have on my face. It is so ridiculous looking. But the more I point out your freckle, the more I forget about my beam. Try to enable it by thinking if you are present with them or around them or supporting them, they'll be okay because you're protecting them. No, you are enabling them. You're making it worse for them to get better by saying, I got you. I'll bail you out. I'll take care of you. I'll pat you in the back. No, tell them you are in sin and you can change your life or you will face the consequences of your sin. What did Paul say? He turned somebody over so they would not have a reprobate mind. He gave them over to maybe if I give you over and you begin to suffer the consequences of your actions, maybe you'll find a place of repentance. It is the time to bail out people. I'm not talking about helping somebody up and showing love and having mercy. I'm talking about allowing people to do whatever they want with no consequences. You are destroying them. If I step in, they won't get worse. Yes, they will. You try to feed it so it won't turn on you. If I coddle it enough, it won't turn on me. You try to sleep on it so you don't have to think about it. You work harder, you work longer, you work more so you can neglect the issue. You're trying to sweep it under a rug. You won't deal with it. You pretend it isn't there. You use illegal substances as a coping mechanism because temporary relief should cause you to ignore long-term consequences. You fantasize and you create false realities because you don't want to deal with the truth. And we all done one thing or another. I'm talking to everybody here this morning, including myself. Here's the problem that she had. Nothing has worked. You suffered at the hands of all of those things. And you're still totally spent. And have lost what? Everything. You lost everything. Family, security, future, and nothing is better. Things have gotten worse. You're more depressed. You're more confused. You're more alone. You're more weak. You're more frustrated. You're more trapped. This is where she was. But there was, even with all I said, a deeper issue going on. It was an internal issue. It was something going on that cannot be seen by those looking around. And many of us were in pain and no one can see it. You couldn't see her internal bleeding. A lot of people are bleeding with internal issues, dealing with all types of heaviness, dealing with all types of concerns,
bleeding with issues from their childhood, bleeding with issues of secret family problems, bleeding with abuse, bleeding with depression, bleeding with reoccurring addiction, bleeding with internal unanswered questions to the why this or that has happened to them and in their life, bleeding with concerns on how they're going to keep their family safe, bleeding with struggles internally of how to do what's right when it seems like every time I do what's right, other times when I find more things going wrong. Am I talking to anybody here today that can relate to the internal struggles you are battling with? Even though you might have a smile on your face, there are things on the inside that are tormenting you. Internal bleeding, internal struggle, internal thoughts happening inside of you. Emotional trauma from the environments that you've been in and the things you've seen and encountered. You're dealing with and you're struggling with them. And you're trying to have strength and you're trying to have joy. But you know on the inside for a long time you've been battling with things that people cannot see on the outside. Tell them before you sick you. How do I deal with it? This is why it was such a huge problem for her. I don't know what else to do. And because of her continual bleeding, the woman would have been continually regarded in Jewish law as nada, or a menstruating woman. And so she was ceremonially unclean. Now, please understand what I mean by that statement. Maybe everyone else around her did not know what was going on, but she knew what was going on. And because she knew what was going on, she knows she could never, in her right mind, in her right state, come to the house of God and totally feel accepted. I want to go to the house of God, but you don't know my internal bleeding. That when I show up, you might not be able to see it. But because of what I feel and what I deal with, I know I shouldn't even be here. That's why many people, again, are not coming to the house of God, because they know they are, quote unquote, ceremonially unclean. And they think they cannot get to the house of God. And that's why I'm pleading with somebody and say the house of God is the greatest place. And the presence of God is the best place you could ever be in. Because there's someone that loves you unconditionally. There's someone that's pulling for you. There's someone that says, I got an answer for your internal struggle. But again, many times, they don't know the truth. And so, she stayed away from the house of God because within herself, she felt unclean. Am I talking to anybody that feels I cannot come to the house of God because I feel unclean, whether you see it or not? So because of my constant bleeding, she lived in isolation. I'm not mentally accepted. I got to stay on the outside because I'm unworthy. And I've been unworthy. I feel like I'm going to keep on being unworthy. So what do we say? Why try? We live in a world of quitters. We live in a world of quitters. We live in a world of spineless quitters. Now, Brother Wilson, I know men you talk, and you know men, how men you are, but it took you courage, and you know I'm not trying to boast you up for that moment, but it took courage for him to come up and admit exactly what he admitted. I'm not going to reiterate it, but what I'm saying is the message is we need a will. Stop being quitters. Stop sucking your thumb. There is a way out. There is an escape. There is a power. Oh, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying this morning, and that's why you keep on going through the same recurring cycle time and time again. You have no will, but I'm praying before the message is over. Somebody will get a fight on the inside and say, I have a will. I will live. I will not die. I will see things transformed. I will see God manifest himself in a great way in my life. And I want you to watch what happens to this woman. Jesus had something on his mind. Jairus had come to him, and it was Jairus that got the attention of Jesus. It was somebody else that had Jesus' mind right now. It was somebody else that had Jesus' focus and attention. And how many times do we feel that God is blessing somebody else? So I won't even try. I was about to press my way, but Jairus got there first. I was about to come and feel the house of God, the presence of God, and somebody beat me to it. I'm talking about I need a will. And I know Jairus was the first one that had the attention. But you know, at that point, she didn't care. She said, I got an internal issue going on, and I might be interrupting. I wish somebody had an interrupting spirit with all due respect and say, I got to touch the hem of his garment. I either would have pressed beyond what might be understood or not. She said, with all of my internal issues going on and with being someone who interrupts, Jesus is here. Jesus is here right now. I face so many things. I've been through so much. But Jesus is passing by right now. Are you here? I mean that literally. I'm not talking about the woman anymore. I'm talking about somebody right now that needs to recognize Jesus is here in this house. And Jesus has a mind to go to heal. He's on his way to Jairus' house. He's on his way to perform miracles, signs, and wonders. And maybe you feel like it's not for you. I don't have much strength, Pastor. And I certainly know I am unclean. But that's why I got to do it. Because I don't have much strength left. I'm barely hanging on as it is. Somebody needs to hear me this morning. I've been fighting for so long, I'm almost ready to actually give up. Am I being real? I've been fighting for a long time to get over this internal problem. I've been struggling for a long time, and if this ain't my moment, there might not be another moment. I might be ready to throw in the towel and say, forget it. So I know I'm unclean. But I pray for somebody right now, whether you're here or you're online, who feels that you're unclean. You will sense what is happening in the spirit right now. Being unclean does not have to keep you away from Jesus. He was showing that I understand I'm unclean. You are not here this morning because you're clean. You are here because you recognize there's someone that has pure blood and pure power and virtue wants to transform itself from him and go into you. Does anybody want to transform of the Holy Ghost this morning? I tell you, this is your day. I don't care what the system and tradition says, and the prevailing thought is, stay away, you are unclean. No, she had a will, and she said within herself, if I can just. Is there anybody this morning with the if I can just? Can I tell you from experience, there's power in getting in the presence of Almighty God. I did not say there's power of being around the people of God. I didn't say there's power just showing up and sitting in the pew. That's not where the power is. The power, I tell you why. How many people were touching him in that moment? How many people were throwing at him, and they did not get their miracle? You will get your miracle when you think within yourself, I have a will to be different. I have a will to be changed. You can't just show up. Hundreds just showed up. Please hear what I'm saying. Please. I'm pleading. I don't know. I know Jesus is coming soon. I know he's coming back fast. And I'm telling somebody, just watching online or just being here, it's not what I'm talking about. You'll find yourself tired with religion if you think just showing up is an automatic thing. and you're wondering what's going on in your personal life. No, no, no. You have to have a will like this woman that says, I don't care what anybody else does. I know when I touch him, something's going to be different. I know when I cry out to him, something's going to change. I know I'm pushing everything I have to be different what's going on inside. And I refuse to be on the peripheral. I refuse to go through the motions. There's so many people that are not being touched because they just go through the motions. I cannot go one more day going through motions. I need the virtue of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to get a hold of me. I cannot leave the same way I came in here. I need a will. And her will is what opens the door for somebody today who's unclean, who has internal struggle. And she showed you, I'm tired of doing what everyone else has said was the solution. Everybody got advice. Everybody got an opinion. Everybody got something to say about what you're dealing with. Just like the doctors did. I'm tired of seeing things fail and then leave me in a worse state. I'm tired of the never-ending internal bleeding battle that I've tried to fix on my own, on my own, on my own, on my own. I got it. I got it. I'll do it myself. I'll fix myself. I'll turn things around myself. And when I turn around myself, then I'll build my relationship up back with God. Now, is there anybody that has a will to do something different? I have a word to say, if I can just touch his clothes, which means I don't need him even to know I was there. The faith is not the knowing that Jesus is there. The faith is knowing I'm going to get what I want from him. What have I been talking in the theme is about, we keep thinking we're waiting on God. God didn't even know she was there. Jesus did not even know she was in the crowd. In his natural human state, we see what the word says as he turned around totally in the days. Who touched me? Are you telling me the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords allowed virtue to be pulled out of him from someone who was unclean? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying someone who was a nobody, someone who was unclean, was able to even surprise God in flesh himself? Are you hearing the kind of power you possess if you would simply have a will to say, whatever it takes, I'm going to get something from God Almighty? There's virtue that can move and come in your life. There's virtue that can come and overcome every sin, every darkness, every unclean spirit. You can touch him whether or not you think he even notices who you are. It was a will that I hope somebody gets that says, I'm not going to stay broken. I'm not going to stay helpless. I'm not just going to allow this internal bleeding to destroy me. I'm not going to allow something I didn't take care of years ago to put me in a place where I have no more hope. Can I tell you there's much hope this morning? There's much hope this morning. There's much hope this morning for somebody. I know. I'm wrapping it up. They're there. You've done all you thought you could do, and yet you think that addiction's going worse, taking over your life, and turning to strong you from within. There's things you've been battling with in your marriage, in your family, in your heart, and in your mind. And I'm telling you, all you need is a will. It's all you need
You don't need to be pure. You don't need to be clean. You don't need to have everything all together. All this woman had was a will. You might say, I have nothing to bring. Then you are okay. All you need is a will. Say within yourself, yes, yes. Say yes, I'm willing. I'm willing. I'm willing myself. I'm willing myself. I have a will.
She thought within herself. She thought within herself. And that thought is what triggered her whole life to be changed from that moment on. What are your thoughts? Do you have thoughts of victory or thoughts of defeat? And it wasn't Jesus that gave her the thoughts. She had to have the thoughts herself. I cannot force this word in you. You got to get it for yourself. There was a story of them two sons. The father who asked them to go work in the field. One said yes and didn't go. And one said no, but ended up going. Because he had a will to change his mind. Maybe you've been going the wrong way. And maybe you, for a while you've said no. Guess what? You can say yes today. I want you to stand on your feet here this morning. The text closes with, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. Kansas City is known as the city of fountains. And I love going through the town and plans and seeing the different fountains. You see a fountain, something that flows, 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 flows. And there are things that have just been flowing, flowing, flowing out in negative ways. But when she touched the hem of his garment, she felt that all those fountain valves were shut off. I'm going to tell you, today is your day. For some fountains that have been running for a long time mentally to be shut off internally, to be shut off. Someone raise your hands right now on that word. And you're ready to see something on the inside internally change. I'm not just talking about outer things. I'm talking about root issues that you fought with and dealt with. Deep-seated struggles that you've been fighting for a long time. And again, maybe you didn't deal with them initially. Oh, but today is a day of hope because Jesus will allow virtue to move in your life. Jesus will allow you to take something from him. Even he did not expect. And Jesus, knowing within himself something had left him, something can leave the place of heaven and move into you this morning. Jesus said, wait a minute. Something has left me because it is the power of Jesus that fixes things. It is the power of Jesus that fixes things. And so Jesus also recognized something has left me, but when leaves Jesus and comes into you, it fixes you. It stops the flow of negative internal issues in your life. Never be the same. And the disciples said, Lord, what are you talking about? But Jesus could not stop. He was moved. And he looked around. And right now, Jesus, he's looking around for those that are touching him and that strong virtue from him, that he's not withholding it for anybody who wants it. And she understood what she had done. She understood what she felt. So she had to come and she admitted, now watch this. She told all the truth. She told the whole story. I get it. And because she was honest about her weakness, she was honest about how long she'd been dealing with that thing. She was honest that she could not fix it by herself. Don't you try.
She said, Lord, it's not just that I'm healed. You got to know what got me to this point. Is there anybody at a point where you say, I got to tell it all. I've been through so much. I've been through so many battles, so many wars, so many issues. And so I got to be honest and say, Lord, I've struggled for a long time. I messed up some things. I made mistakes. And now, quite honestly, Jesus, if you didn't fix it, no one could. Do you hear me? If Jesus cannot fix it, nobody can. But if you have a will, He'll fix it. Lift your hands right now. I want to speak a word over you. If you hear anything, Jesus, allow the miracle to happen to a nobody, to a woman with no name, to a woman who was broken, to a woman who lost everything. He allowed virtue to start. And I pray right now for somebody, wherever you are listening, His virtue is here. Cry out to Him in honesty. Don't sweep it under the rug anymore. Let your heart open. Let your heart burst. Let your heart go out and say, I need you. And wherever you are, these altars are open. Wherever you are in your home, it's a time where you need a will. Where you going to humble yourself. Where you going to press through a crowd. And where you allow the virtue of Jesus Christ to move in. But He wants to give you virtue. He wants to give you virtue. He wants to give you a healing counselor. He wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free. You can be made whole. You can be made whole. You can be made whole. It's His love. It's His love. It's His love. Let Him love on you. Wherever you are right now, watching, let Him love on you.